Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The title for the message today is Seeking Glory. Our dictionary, Webster, defines glory as praise, honor, and distinction. Also, a state of great gratification, a distinguished quality or asset, is also a splendor, beauty. Human beings use glory to boast or to be proud of. But what does the Bible define as glory? What does the Bible say about glory? Do you know what glory is? We must, because we need to seek that kind of glory. In order to seek, we need to know what glory is. Glory is one of the most common praise words in Scripture. The most used Hebrew word for glory in the Old Testament, what we call Old Testament, has the simple meaning of heaviness or weight. It was used in every speech to express the worthy of a person, the worth of a person in a material sense, and then to express also the ideas of importance, greatness, honor, splendor, power, and so on. In the New Testament, which was originally written in Greek, the word used for glory is doxa, the most common one. Doxa means judgment, opinion, and by extension, good reputation, honor, and praise. We all know, those of us that read the Bible, know about the request that Moses made to God. He says, please show me your glory. We find that in Exodus 33, verse 18, New King James. The Bible defines glory. One of the definitions of God's glory is the glory of God's law. God's law, in one biblical aspect, is what defines what glory is, the God's glory is. Another aspect is God's grace, as revealed through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, is another kind of God's glory, as we understand in the Bible. For the sake of illustration, let's think of glory as light, because that is one common use in the Bible, understanding of the word glory. There is a certain glory of a full moon that shines at night, but when the sun comes up in the morning, the moon's light pales. The question is why? Because the glory of the sun, when it appears, outshines that of the moon. And another reason is because the moon has no light of its own. It has no glory of its own. It only reflects the glory that comes from the sun. As the law of God reflects the glory that comes from Him. Glory is like a light, in that it speaks of the revelation of God's true nature, His true character. Our knowledge and understanding of God's glory is increased by the revelation of God's holy law. If we understand God's will, we understand God's glory. But our knowledge and understanding of God's goodness and holiness is increased so much more powerfully and intimately to the revelation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is the glory of grace that reflects on us the glory of God's holy will. Isaiah 9, verse 2, in the New Living Translation, the people who walk in darkness, Isaiah said, will see a great light. A clear reference to Jesus Christ. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, New Living Translation, the prophet said, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free. Oh, yes. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, New Living Translation, it says, because of God's tender mercy, The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Peter, in 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19, he says, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets, as we mentioned before. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, New Central Version, Paul says this to the Corinthians, the devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news about the glory of Christ, who is exactly like God. Then in verse 6 it says, God once said, let the light shine out of the darkness. This is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts by letting us know the glory of God, that is, the face of Christ. Paul also said to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, as well as verse 18, he says, we are not like Moses who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. Verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17, New Living Translation, for our present troubles are small and one last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Let me share an illustration with you. A woman went to a pet store and she purchased a parrot to keep her company. She asked the storekeeper, does this bird speak? Oh, yes, ma'am. But you must keep it happy, he told her. She took her new pet home, but returned the next day to report that parrot hasn't said a word yet. The storekeeper calmly asked her, does it have a mirror? Parrots like to be able to look at their reflection in the mirror. So the lady bought the mirror and went home. The next day, she was back, announced that the bird still wasn't speaking. So the storekeeper said, ma'am, what about a play-stand playground? Parrots enjoy walking up and down on their play-stand. So the lady bought the playstand and returned home. Sure enough, the next day, she was back with the same story. Still, no talk. So the storekeeper says, ma'am, does the parrot have a bell? You know those tiny little bells that you can hang on his cage? Birds enjoy playing with a bell. So she bought the bell and went home. The next day, she returned to the store to announce the sad news. The bird has died. The storekeeper said, oh, ma'am, I'm so terribly sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that this happened. Did by any chance the bird say anything before it died? The lady said, let me think. I think he did. It sounds like something like, I believe he said, don't they sell any bird food in that store? This illustration has some humor to it. but actually is a very serious thing. When we fail to pay attention to the most important priorities in life, sometimes we are so preoccupied with other things that we forget that the most important thing in our existence must be to seek God's glory. As followers of Christ, that must be our sole purpose in our lives, in our existence. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, Paul is saying to the Corinthians and to all of us, whatever you do in this life, make sure that you don't lose the perspective that the purpose for your existence is to seek God's glory. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians as chapter 9, verse 11 through 15. We're not going to be reading, just as a reference. Paul said to the Corinthians, please remind yourselves that all the gifts that God has given to you, the purpose is to make people thank God, praise God, and glorify God. When we talk about the attribute of God, none is more important to consider than His glory. It is His splendor. It is the presence of God experienced by His own people. It is the supernatural, tangible evidence of God's power and light as it manifested through Him, by Him, on us, and through us. God's glory is His own, but He allows us to participate in it. Let's look into the Word of God, the first portion of the Bible, the first 39 books of the Bible, which we call the Old Testament, how the glory of God was revealed, manifested in the old days. Exodus chapter 24, verse 15 to 18. It talks about Moses in the mountain before he received the Ten Commandments. When Moses went up in the mountain, the cloud covered the mountain. Then verse 16 says, the glory of the Lord came down on the Mount of Sinai, and the cloud covered it, covered the glory of God, for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called Moses from inside the cloud and told him, to come up. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a fire burned on top of the mountain. And verse 18 says, then Moses went into the cloud and went higher up in the mountain, and he stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. The same experience is reported about the tabernacle. Exodus 40, 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested upon it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whatever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Imagine, brothers and sisters, being able to see the glory of God every single day and by night. All their days is very difficult to comprehend their rebellion against God when God was present with them and showed by His manifestation, His presence. The glory of God was contained inside of sanctuary by day and by night. Another reference to about the glory of God is when the temple of Solomon was dedicated, the house of the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, it says, when the priests left the holy place, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The Shekinah of God manifested. The priests could not continue their work because the temple was filled with the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord. Let me tell you a story about a true story about Anthony Collins. He lived around the 1700s. He was a justice of peace and an English writer who became a well-known deist. If you do not know what deist is, a deist believes in the existence of God but reject any religion if it is based or not in the scriptures. Instead, they base their belief on physical nature, human reason, and personal experience. They reject all supernatural events such as prophecy, miracles. Instead, they believe that God does not interfere with human life and that the laws of the universe he created, he just created and put everything in place and let it run by itself. Some clock and then just let it sit by itself without interfering with his own work. Deism became prominent in England and as well as the United States on the 16 and 1700s. What is ironic about this belief is actually the people who believe in those things they were raised as Christians. And they found out themselves denying the existence of the Trinity and not accept the divinity of Jesus Christ and not any miracles. Even believe that the Bible was man-made, therefore was not free of error. But one day, this man went out for a walk. And as he was walking, he crossed paths with a very humble, simple man. So he asked him, where are you going? The simple man answered, to church, sir. So Collins asked him, what are you going to do there? He said, to worship God our Lord, sir. So Collins asked again, in a more sarcastic way, is your God a great God or a little God? What kind of God do you have? The simple man said, he is both, sir. Really? How can he be both? Collins asked the man. So the simple man said this to Mr. Collins. He is so great, sir, that the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. And he is so little that he can dwell even in the heart of a simple man like me. That was the man's reply with simplicity and deep conviction. So well, so it impressed Collins. And Collins even said later, he declared that his disciples' man's answer had more effect on his mind and intellect than all the volumes he had ever read about God in his life and all the lectures that he had ever heard. Yes, brothers and sisters, God is greater than our mind and can even imagine. We cannot figure him out through our own reasoning because he is immortal. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, and he is invisible. So we cannot comprehend him or even see him. When we talk about a human understanding of glory and application of the word glory, some men and women also become very proud and even arrogant because they live in a big house, a very expensive house, a mansion, or because they drive a very expensive car, or both, or because they wear very fine clothes all together. You know what is the foolishness about all this, brothers and sisters? If there is any glory to these material things. The glory belongs to the person who builds the home, not the one who lives there. Or about the car, the one who built the car, the manufacturer that built the car, not those that drives it. Or about the teller that made the clothes, not those that wear it, because not the you wearing the clothes that makes the clothes precious. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23, 24, New King James Version, God gives this advice to all of us. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his mighty. Nor let the rich man glory on his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows the Lord. That I am the Lord says, exercising long kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, the New Living Translation. Paul says this, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. I'd like to illustrate using a story, a true story of an American Christian songwriter. He is also a record producer and an actor. He told me a story about a trip that he made to Hollywood, you know, the place here in close to Los Angeles. They call it Holly, but there's not a Holly about, so I call it Hollywood. During this trip to this place, he stopped by a department store to buy a T-shirt. Not a fancy silk one, but just a plain cotton T-shirt, a white T-shirt. As he entered the store, he looked for, and then he pulled one from the rack. He noticed the price tag and thought to himself, that must be a Miss Martin. So he went and looked for another one. And when he looked at the price on the tag, incredible. He approached the salesperson to ask why the exorbitant price, $640 for a T-shirt? The salesperson calmly told him, sir, the price is correct, $640, and that is the special for today. He began to question, what could possibly be so special about this T-shirt to have such, to be so expensive? So in a joking way, he asked the salesperson, ma'am, am I going to be healed of some kind of disease when I put this on? Am I going to get some kind of superpower? What in the world is in this T-shirt that makes it so expensive? So she told him, it is the designer's name on it that adds the value to it, sir. Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to let you know today that you are incredibly valuable because whose name is on you? Do you know how valuable you are? Do you understand that your worth and value comes from whose name is on you? God's glory is stitched in your genes, and you are here to glorify Him. God is stamped on your genes, in your heart, His holy law, His glory, so that all your works may represent and reflect His glory. You were created to seek and to keep His glory. The scripture tells us in Genesis 1:27, so God created us in His own image. Male and female, He created us. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Jesus says this in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 3:23-24, we have fallen short of the glory of God. By God's grace, through Jesus Christ, that glory must be restored in our own personal lives. We must reflect that glory. And without Jesus in us, we will. Luke 21:27, then they will see, who is they? We are. Then we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. A glory that He will share with us. Isaiah 28:5, in that day, my brothers and sisters, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of His people. And we are the remnant of His people. Indeed, you were made in the very own image of Abba, our beloved Creator. The same holy hands that has designed you, that has created you, are the same pierced hands that has redeemed you. And those same glorious hands are the same hands that will dress you with His designed glory. God created you. You are His. God redeemed you. You are twice as His. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 60:1 says, arise, shine, show the glory of God. Reveal the glory of God. Seek the glory of God. May the Lord bless you, my brothers and sisters. Not only through this season for you to shine your light, to shine the glory of God, but may every single day from now until Jesus Christ comes in His glory to dress us with His glory. It is my prayer for you. God bless.